All right, Rachel, we'll say good morning. Good morning, good morning. We have a beautiful parak ahead of us today, new parak ahead of us today. I want to begin by thanking the sponsors of our Shiur, Talmud Torah sponsors, Justin and Abigail Rosemore, for dedicating all of the Shiur and Drashos this month in memory of their beloved son, Kobi Chaim Yaakov David ben Zichron Levracha ben Yosef Tzadok. Our monthly Shiur sponsor, Alan and Sue Meyerowitz and family, Jason, Deborah, Justin, Rebecca, Mindy, Simcha, and all of the grandchildren in the merit of a Refuah Shalema for Shulamis Tova Bas Mindel. And we have a Day of Learning sponsor, the Ringo, Ram, Fine, and Harwitz families, for dedicating the Shiurim and Drushas today in memory of their father and grandfather, Nachum ben Shlema Meir. We hope that Shlema Meir, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, Shamul Havan Aliyah and the family in Nechama. And I will say with that, let us begin. So brand new parak that we are starting today. Today's daf is Tzadik Aleph 91, and we are picking up Emir Hashem on Daf Tzadik and Daf Tzadik on base 90B. We are picking up on 90B. So the Gemara says as Mishnah says as well. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, it really is fascinating to see how much of Masechta Shabbos the Masechta is dedicated to Otzah. Right? Again, and you're going to see right now, we're continuing in this discussion about transferring items from one domain to another, what's considered to be significant, what's insignificant, and it's amazing. Just as so you could see, there's an incredible hashkafa in this. What's the hashkafa? Why so much time spent on hotzah? Because I will say, so much of life is about getting from point A to point B. Right? So much of life is getting from your Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus HaRabim, from your Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid, to advancing yourself to get from one point to the next. Isn't that what all of life is about? And therefore, perhaps again, that's the Musar in so much of the Masechta as well. So we go right there. Hamatznia Lezera. So we'll say, remember again, continue. We've actually seen this Mishnah quoted in different contexts a bit earlier. So Hamatznia Lezera. So we'll say, so if somebody goes ahead and puts away a certain amount, they're actually points out that it's kol shehu. A person goes ahead and puts away even a minute amount of seed for the point of ultimately sowing it, for the point of planting it. That's Hamatznia Lezera. Or Ula Dugma. So we'll say, so Dugma, remember again, refers to the fact that a person puts away a small amount of herbs in order to go ahead and, let's say, dye a small amount of fabric that would often serve as a sample patch to be able to show people different dye colors. Or lirafua, or I will say a person stores away a certain amount of something, ultimately, again, for medicinal purposes. Now, the common denominator in all of these cases of zera, ledugma, lirafua, is that you're storing away very small amounts of an item, much smaller than the normative shear for this type of item. Vahotzio b'shabbos, and ultimately, again, a person goes ahead and brings it out on Shabbos. So what's the halacha chayiv? Ultimately, a person is chayiv, chayiv b'chol shehu. A person is chayiv, ultimately, again, for going ahead and carrying out any amount. Now, what's the logic of here? So Rashi says, first Rashi in the parak, doha achshevei. So we'll say, so this is obvious, we know this already, that by virtue of the fact of that you stored it, that means that for you, this is an important amount. And even though, again, objectively, you are storing an insignificant amount, but because for you this is significant, because for you this is a meaningful amount, therefore, halacha lemaisa, if you were to take it out on Shabbos, you would be chayiv for hotzah. So we'll say, a really, in and of itself, an incredible and novel ruling. We've spent all of this time kind of creating objective amounts for hotzah, and now the Mishnah introduces us to the concept that halacha lemaisa, if you store it, it's significant for you. And if it's significant for you, then halacha lemaisa, you would be chayiv if you were to go ahead and transfer that amount. So the Gemara goes right there. V'chol adam ein chayiv alav ela kishiuro. But every other person ultimately will only be chayiv if they go ahead and transfer out the normative shear. So we'll say, so let's say for example, for argument's sake, let's say the shear for most food items is a grogeres, the amount of a dried fig. So halacha l'maaseh, that's the shear you have for otsa. Let's say I happen to store a half a dried fig's amount because I use that for medicinal purposes. Okay, so the halacha is, for me, if I carry out that amount, I'm going to be chayiv. Why? Because since I stored it, it's chashiv, and because it's chashiv, I'm chayiv for otsa. But if you were to take that amount from me and take it out, well, actually, we'll see that case. But for you, the shear is, if you don't store this type of food item for medicinal purposes, for you, the shear will still be a grogeres, a fig's amount. Incredible. So the Gemara says, chazer v'echniso, eno chayiv ala kishir. So we'll see, this is actually a very interesting case. Chazer v'echniso, look at Rashi. He says, chazer v'echniso, zesh etznia pachos mi kishir, v'hotzi im chazer v'nimlach shal lezara v'echniso. Watch this case. Let's say I stored one seed. Let's assume for a moment that one seed by itself is insignificant. But since I stored it, it's significant. Because the assumption is, since I stored it, I plan to plant it. I take it out from a shusayacha to Rosh Hashanah. I did an act of otzah. Now it's in the Shusarabim. I decide, you know what? I'm not planting it. So I bring it back inside my house. So as I said, the novel ruling over here is that what? That Allah Almighty, now that I decided not to plant it, therefore, again, the one seed no longer is a chashev shir, because once I decide not to plant it, essentially I revert back to the normative constructs of hotzah. And for the normative constructs of hotzah, one seed is not significant. So we'll see the novelty in this ruling in this Gemara. So if I will say, essentially, halacha lemaisa, three halachas. Number one, if you store it, it becomes significant, and therefore you're chayiv for otsa, even if it is a very small amount. Number two, ultimately, again, just because I store it, it only makes it chashiv for me. Someone else will only be chayiv if they carry out the normal otsa amount. And halacha number three, if I take the item out. Right? And then once it's out, once it's in Shurab, let's say I change my mind, I'm not going to use it for my intended purpose, and I carry it back in. Once I decide not to use it for the purpose for which I stored it, the shear of the item will be the normative shear and not my subjective shear. So just illustrating that last part. For example, if I store one seed, that makes it significant. Therefore, again, if I carry it out from my house into Rosh Hasharabim, then what? Then halacha l'maaseh, I'm chayiv. I've done an act of hotza with a significant amount. But let's say now it's Rosh Hashanah. I say, you know what? I'm not planting it. So I carry it back in. I won't be chayiv for hotza. Why? Because let's assume for a moment that one seed is not the requisite shear. And since my intention has changed, one seed is no longer significant for me, therefore, halacha l'maaseh, I will not be chayiv for otsa. So we'll say that the novelty is the same item when you took it from your home into Rosh Hashanah, which was chayiv for otsa. If now your mindset changes from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, you won't be chayiv for otsa. Again, we'll see that in the Gemara. So it says the Gemara, lama le'le misnei hamatznia, lisnei hamotzi. We'll say, why is there a need to go ahead and begin the Mishnah saying, one who stores away? Let the Mishnah just say, Hamotzi lezera ula dugma ula rafua chayiv b'chol shu. But I'll say, all the Mishnah really needs to say is like this. It doesn't need to say, I stored it. What it needs to say is, a person who goes in and takes out enough seed to plant, or enough herbs to go ahead and to color a sample patch, or enough item that you have for rafua. In other words, if I have these items, and my intention is to use it for these purposes, that creates a chashivos. Whether I store it or not is really insignificant. So Amar Abaye, Hachama Askina, what's the case? We'll say this is fascinating. Kigon she'etzniu v'shachach lama hetzniu. So we'll say, what's the case? I put these items away, or I stored them, but I don't remember for what purpose I stored them. And therefore what? V'hashta kamapik leistama. And now I'm carrying it out on Shabbos without any specific intent. So watch this, top of Tzadik Aleph. Ma'udetimo, what would you have thought? Batule batla machshavto. I might have thought that since now I don't have any explicit intention for how I'm going to use this item. Therefore, again, but la daita eitzel kol adam, my specific intent should ultimately be bottled to general intent. And therefore, since halacha lemaisa, I am carrying out less than the amount of what would be a normative shear, I should not be chayiv. Kamash malon, kol ha'ose al das rishon ahu ose. Therefore, Kamash on the Gemara says, no, what that Mishnah is teaching me is, if you stored it, that means it's significant for you. And if it's significant for you, that means it'll be chayiv for hotzah. And the novelty is, even if you forgot the reason why you stored it, since you stored it, that makes it chashiv for you. And therefore, ultimately, again, if you carry it out, it'll be chayiv on Shabbos. Now, both say, now, of course, if you change your das, meaning if you say that item, even though I did store it, it no longer has any significance for me, then einachinami, you would not be chayiv hotzah for such a small amount. But remember, that's the specific case. The case over here is I start it. I don't remember why I stored it. I have no specific intent to say that it's insignificant. I carry it out. In that case, what the Mishnah is teaching me is that my original das, my original intent, which ultimately propelled me to store this item, which means my original intent that said that this small amount is chashiv, remains intact unless replaced by another explicit and specific intent. And therefore, if I carry it out, halacha lemaisa, I will be chayiv. Pretty incredible. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. Mechayiv hayer Rabbi Meir, ach b'motzi chita achas lezriya. So we'll say that Yehuda and Neymar Shmuel said that Rabbi Meir would say that you're chayiv, even if you go ahead and you carry out one kernel of wheat. One kernel of wheat. I pshita, says the Gemara, isn't that obvious, pshita? Kol shutinan. We'll say at the end of the day, the Mishnah said that you can be chayiv for otzah for any specific amount, to which the Gemara says, "Ma'u detema, what would you have thought? Kol shehu la'afuke migro geres, uli olam adi'ika kazayis." So I will say it's interesting. The Gemara says, I would have really thought that Lamais at the end of the day, when the Mishnah says that you're chayiv for kol shehu doesn't really mean kol shehu. Doesn't really mean kol shehu. Now then I will say, what does kol shehu mean? Kol shehu means, kol shehu means a amount smaller than a grogeres, right? An amount smaller than the volume of a dried fig. But halacha lemaisa, at least a kizayis. In other words, I might have thought if you carry out anything, anything doesn't mean anything, because there still has to be some level of a requisite shear. So you don't need the amount of a grogeres, which is normally the amount you need for food items. Rather, you only need a kizayis. Kamash molan, that's not the case. Kamash molan, both say that halacha lemaisa, the Mishnah is introducing me to the idea that literally I could carry out the smallest amount, even a one stalk of wheat or one kernel of wheat. And again, if for me, this is chashuv, this is important, meaning I have a use for this, then einachinami, I will be chayiv for otza. Maskif for Rabbi Yitzchak, b'rei Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yitzchak, son Rabbi Yehuda, raises a kasha. Ela me'ato chishev lahotzi kol beiso. So we'll say, so now I have a question. Let's go to the other extreme of this. So what you're telling me now is that my das, my specific intent, ultimately goes ahead and determines whether or not something is chashuv, important, and therefore will dictate whether or not I am chayiv because of hotzah. So therefore, again, remember, what did we just say? If I have a specific use for one kernel of wheat, right, then halacha lemaisa, so for me, that's chashiv. If I carry out one kernel of wheat, I'll be chayiv for otzah on Shabbos. An incredibly novel ruling. Well, let's go on the flip side. Let's say I say to myself, you know what? My intention is to go ahead and carry out everything from my house at once. I want to do some spring cleaning on Shabbos, so I decide I'm carrying everything out of my house at once. And that's my intention. My intention is I'm clearing out everything from my house. So you're going to tell me now that because my intention is to carry out everything from my house, that I'll only be chayiv for hotza'a once I carry everything out? Once I carry literally everything? But if I carry one thing, two things, three things, five things, I'm not chayiv? So we'll say to which the Gemara says, no. Hasam batla daita itza kaladam. It's different. See, we'll say there does come a certain point in time where your das is so out of the norm that literally we don't recognize it as a valid das. But rather, we will go ahead and we will say that your das is batel to everyone else. So we'll say, see here what we're saying over here. Meaning, to say that one stalk of wheat is chashuv, okay, you know, even though lemaisa, for most people, that will not be true. But if I could demonstrate the reason why it's chashuv, I use it for medicinal purposes, or there's something else. So if there's a reason, okay. But lemaisa, if your das is a bit absurd, right? If your das is, I'm clearing everything out of my house, moving every last item from my house, from a Rosh HaYachad to Rosh HaSarabim, and that's what I want to do, and that's considered chashev and nothing less, already, again, that's absurd. That's absurd. And therefore, batla daita itzol ka'adam, which Rabbi said, is actually an incredible musr as well. Meaning, you know, the beauty of Yiddishkeit is, people don't realize this, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu strongly encourages individuality, right? And wants each of us to cultivate our own unique identity. But interestingly enough, if it's too unique, and without any framework, that's no longer an identity. That's batla daita itzel kol adam. Right? So batla daita itzel kol adam says there is a framework, and the framework actually is quite large. It's quite large, and you have to find your own space within that framework. But if you're totally outside of the framework, then that's not a shita, right? That's not a das. That's not a deya. And it's batla daita itzel kol adam. Incredible moser. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, b'chol adam in chayav and alav ela kishira. So remember again, the novelty in the Mishnah is that you could have two different children for two people. So if I go ahead and I store one kernel of wheat, right? So for me, one kernel is significant because I use it for a homeopathic remedy that I have, right? So for me, one kernel of wheat is chashuv. For you, you're only going to be chayv hotza if what? If you carry out the volume of a grogeres, of a dried fig, a dried fig's worth of wheat kernels. If you carry out less than that, you will be putter. So we'll say, so for me, because ultimately, again, I store it and I keep it, then it's chashuv for me. The shear is A, and for you, it's B. So we'll say, watch this. Maslisin delok Reb Shimon Elazar. So our Mishnah does not reflect if you're Reb Shimon Elazar. Why is that? The Sanyo. Klal Amar Reb Shimon Elazar, kol she'ino kasher lahatznia, v'ein matznien kamohu. So let's listen to this. Reb Shimon Elazar says as follows: anything that is not fit to be stored, and people do not normally store this amount, v'hochsher lazeh v'itznio. But again, Reuven will call them. Reuven decides to store a smaller amount of this item. So let's say so again. Let's just keep this easy. We're sticking with wheat kernels. People don't normally go ahead and store a wheat kernel. Okay, they store only a larger amount. But Reuven decides that he's storing a wheat kernel. Fine, so as we've established, once Reuven decides that a wheat kernel is significant for him, then Einachinami, again, that becomes the requisite shear for him. And if he carries out the wheat kernel, he's going to be chayiv. Shimon Elazar says like this, V'hoch shalazeh, v'itznio, uba acher v'hotzi. And how about, so let's say Shimon comes along, and Shimon comes into Reuven's house, and he takes Reuven's wheat kernel, and he carries Reuven's wheat kernel out. Ultimately, again, Shimon will be chayiv for hotzah based on Reuven's machshava. So both say, Shimon ben Elazar ultimately goes ahead and says as follows, that once for Reuven, that one wheat kernel, is chashav, and therefore he stores it. Even if Shimon comes along and subsequently takes Reuven's wheat kernel, Shimon will be chayiv for an act of hotza'a based on Reuven's machshava. So we'll say, since Reuven made it chashav, therefore Shimon will go ahead and be chayiv for transferring it out. Now we'll say, that stands in contradistinction to the Mishnah, because remember again, what did the Mishnah say? When Reuven stores it, it becomes chashav for who? For Reuven. But not chashiv for anyone else. So if Shimon, so according to the Mishnah, if Shimon were to come along and take the wheat kernel, Shimon would not be chayav because vis-a-vis Shimon, one wheat kernel is totally insignificant. So we'll say, so fascinating machlokes between the Tanakhama, between the Rabbanon, and Reb Shimon Elazar. What I just want to point out, I will say, is what this really is a good old chakira, right, of is this a din in the Cheftza or the Gavra? Right? Because Rabbi said, listen to this. Really, essentially, according to Reb Shimon Elazar, it's a din in the cheftza. Once, it's a din in the object. Once Reuven says that one kernel of wheat is chashuv. And again, he doesn't just say it, but he acts on it. He stores it away. That changes the chefza. This kernel of wheat is now, this kernel of wheat is now a davar chashuv. See, even if Shimon comes along and he moves it, Shimon will be, or takes it out, Shimon will be chayiv. According to the Rabbanan, no, this is a din in the gavra, not a din in the chefza. This is a din in the individual. So Reuven, vis-a-vis Reuven, the object is chashuv. But again, that's only vis-a-vis Reuven. For Shimon, this is one little wheat kernel. One wheat kernel by itself is totally insignificant. That's the machlokis. But the Gemara is pointing out that our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Rav Shimon Alozo. Amar Rava. Rava says as follows. Amar Rav Nachman, Hotzi kigro geres lachila, v'nim lachalel lezriya. What's the interesting case? What happens if you took out a dried fig? Then I will say, now watch the case over here. You took it out for achila purposes. So again, you transferred it from Rishos Hayochid to Rishos Harabim, and your intention is to eat it. Okay, now I will say, now remember again, the shear for normative consumption is, or I should say, the shear for a food item is a grogeres. So in this case over here, you took out, in this case, you're literally taking out a dried fig. And your intention is to eat it, okay? And then let's say once you bring it out to the Rishos HaRabim, you change your mind. I'm not going to eat it, I'm going to plant it. Inami, or Lizriya v'nim lachalel achila. Or you go ahead and you carry out the dried fig, and your intention when you carry it out is to plant it. But once you get to the Rishos HaRabim, your intention, you change your mind, you decide to eat it. So chayif, you're still chayif for otza. So the Gemara says, oh, that's obvious. Pshita. Zil ha'ocha ikashir, v'zil ha'ocha ikashir. So we'll say, of course you're going to be chayiv over here. Why? Because you carried out the shear, right? You carried out a dried fig, which is the shear. So we'll say, so whether you have intention to eat it or they have intention to plant it, either way, it doesn't really matter because you carried out the requisite shear. So watch this. The Gemara says, but, so what's the kasha? Ma'od etema, or what's the problem you were of the ma'od etema? Ba'inon akira v'hanocha b'chad ha'machshav v'su v'halaka. I might have thought that halacha l'maisa. I would say this is very interesting. I might have thought that for Otsah purposes, maybe I require Akira and Hanukkah to be done for the same motivation. So I would say in this case over here, the Akira, which means the uprooting of the object, was done with the intention in case A, to eat it, and then the Hanukkah and Shrabim was done with the intention to plant it, or vice versa. So I might have thought that when Akira and Hanukkah are done with two different intentions, maybe this is no longer a unified act of Hotzah. Kamashmalo, no. Kamashmalo, I will say that to a certain degree, well, we don't really care. We don't really look at your intention. What we really look at is the object. Does the object have the requisite shear? And are you, in fact, transferring it from one domain to another? But if your mindset, i.e. what you wanted to do with the item, changes over time, that does not really seem to impact us too much. Bayi Rav, I suppose I have a follow-up on that question. Hotzi chatzi grogeres lizriya. V'tavcha. We'll say, listen to this. V'nimlach ale ala achila mahu. We'll say, let's say I carry out a half a dried fig. And then what happens? It swells up. So now it becomes the shear, ultimately again, of a grogeres, of a full dried fig. And I have in mind to eat it. So we'll say, hear what's happening over here. When I took it out, my intention was just plant it. And ultimately, again, it was the size of a half a grogeres. Then I changed my, then it swells up, and I changed my mind, and my intention is to eat it. Mahu, what is the halacha in that case, Rabosei? See, Rabosei, remember again, in this case over here, by the time I have in mind to eat it, so it has the full shear. But yet, when I picked it up and moved it from my home, it did not have the requisite shear for achila, but it did have the requisite shear for Zriya. So what do I do in this case? Mau. Imtim salomar hasimud nechayiv dezil hacha ikashira vezil hacha ikashira. So maybe in the previous case that we just mentioned, even though you changed your intention from consumption to planting or vice versa, it didn't really matter to us. Why? Because the food item always had the requisite shear, and that's why you'll be chayiv. However, hacha kivan deba'idna da'afkalo hava bashir. Achila lo mechayiv. But we'll say, in this case over here, what did you carry out, or what did you pick up? You picked up a half a grogeres. Well, that does not have the shear for achila. So maybe in this case over here, the akira was not done for the sake of achila, and therefore you shouldn't be chayiv. Odilma, or perhaps I should say, Kevan de ilo ishtik velo chashiv alea mechayiv amachshava dizria. Or maybe Rabbi also on the flip side, had I not said anything, right, and changed my original intent, I write for which was for planting, ultimately again, I would be chayiv, because Rabbi also, remember again, I did move the requisite size for planting purposes. Therefore, again, Rabbi also, I should also be chayiv. Vim tim salomar kevan deilu ishtik velo chashev alei mechayiv amachshava dizria. So we'll say, or maybe I should say as follows. Since I did not go ahead, as if I would have just not said anything and not had in mind, I would have been chayiv ultimately for transporting a half a grogeris amount, because that is an amount that is significant for zria. Hashtanami mechayiv. Therefore, again, I should also be chayiv here. Therefore, hotzi, what about the flip case? Hotzi ki grogeres la'achila v'tzamka. We'll say, watch this case. What happens if I carried out a grogeres, a dried fig, and it shriveled, so that now it's less than the size of a dried fig, v'tzamka, v'nimla chalel izvya. So we'll say, now watch this case. In this case, I took a regular grogeres, and I transferred it for the purpose of consumption. Then before I placed it down, what happens? It shrivels up. Now it's less than a grogeres. And I have in mind that I'm going to use it for planting. So what happens in that case? Mahu. Hacha vadai ki ishtik amachshava kamaisa lo mechayiv. In this case over here, if I never changed my original intent, which was for consumption, I certainly would not be chayiv over here. Why? Because now I'm dealing with an item that is less than the shear for ochlin. It's less than a grogeres. Odoma. Or ultimately, maybe we look at what my intention is now. And since my intention is now is for zria, for planting purposes, therefore I should be chayiv. The Gemara says, if that's the case, hotzi grogeres la'achila. What about the following case? Hotzi grogeres la'achila. We'll say, watch this. Third case, I carry out a grogeres, which is a proper size. Okay, so meaning it's a size of a dried fig, and my intention is to carry it out for consumption purposes, which Rabbi said would make me chayiv. Watch this, vitsanka, it shrivels, v'chazra v'tavcha, then it swells back up. So it's a full grogeres, shrivels up, and then again once again, what's the word? Not inflates, but you know it swells back up. Mahu, we'll say what's the luck in that case? Yesh dichui le'inyan Shabbos, or in dichui le'inyan Shabbos. So we'll say in that case, what we ask over here is halacha lemaisa. Do we say that at the end of the day, once it swells up, it no longer has the shear of ochlin, for a food item, and therefore even once it goes ahead, once it shrivels up, it no longer has the shear for ochlin, and therefore even subsequently, once it swells back up, halacha lemaisa, you still won't be chayiv for it. We'll say that's what means yesh dichui. We've seen this concept of dichui in many situations. Dichui, Rabbi Yosef, means once something is set aside for non-use in a particular situation, do we say that it's essentially forever set aside for non-use? Right? That's it. Once it kind of leaves the machane, it doesn't come back. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Yesh dichui, ma shechasra ben sayim. Ilu ancha bahi shaita lo mechayiv, mi aminon toras dichui denit chelo mechiv chatos ubatla la akira. Vichi hadar tafcha venicha havenacha blakir. So we'll say, essentially, do we say that once this grogeres was out of the parasha, out of the framework of the shear for ochlin, once you're out, you're out. That's what it means, yesh dichui. Once you're out, once you're disqualified, you're disqualified. Even if your circumstances change, ultimately, again, you can't re-qualify. So do we say that therefore once the fig shrivels up and no longer has the shear, therefore halacha lemaisa won't be chayiv for otza? Most said to which the Gemara says, for all these cases, teku. So I say, interestingly enough, the Gemara is unsure what to do about these cases. I will say, so remember again, three different cases, but the common denominator is as follows. The truth is two cases and then the third case. The third case, I will say, is my intention doesn't change, but the object changes and then changes back. Right? So I'm transferring out a grogeres, which is the shear for achila. Right? I'm transferring out a grogeres. it shrivels and then swells back. So ultimately, again, do we say that this is an item for which I would be chayiv for transferring as a food item, or do we say once it shriveled, it's out of the parsha and I'm no longer chayiv for otzah? In the first two cases, Rabbi say what happened over here is my mindset changed, and ultimately, again, the food item changed. And so the shaila is what happens in those circumstances where my mind, what I want to use the item for changes, and the item itself experiences a change as well. To which the Gemara says, Teku, we're not sure. We're not sure. I have to leave that for Eliyahu HaNavi. We don't know. Again, so we'll say, so for our purposes, meaning it will be usher, because if we're not sure what to do with it on Hilchos Shabbos, it's just usher. But Lamaisa, for example, for karbanic purposes, you would not bring a chatos under these circumstances. Good. But say, what happens if a person throws a kezayis of truma? Remember again, truma, the portion of the kohen. Person throws a kezayis of truma into a home that is tamei. Now, we'll say, obviously, if you go ahead and you throw truma, you put truma into a home, let's say where there's a corpse, so truma becomes tamei. So, mahu, what's the halacha? So, the Gemara says, what's the halacha for what? L'mai. Shabbos, so we'll say, if you're talking about for Shabbos, that let's say I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah, I'm holding truma, and I throw it into the home. So you're asking me, am I chayiv for otzah, for transferring an item from the public into the private domain? The shear for food items on Shabbos is not a kezayis, it's a larger amount of a grogeres, of the size of a dried fig. So I won't be chayiv for Shabbos. Ila inyan tuma, kebeitza, ochlin ba'inon. And we'll say, if you're talking about for tuma, so remember again, the shear for tuma is an X volume. It's an X volume. So what do you mean when you say that you're chayiv? To which the Gemara says, the Olam Shabbos. The truth is, for Shabbos purposes, Ukigom de'ika pachos mikabetza ochlin, v'hai mashlimo likabetza. So Rabbi says, listen to this. What's the case? The case is where there is less than a kabetza of truma food inside of the home. And I throw in this truma, I have very good aim, and the truma that I throw in combines with the food that is already inside of the house to form a shir of a kebetza. So my, mid the itzrif le'inyan tuma, mechayib nami le'inyan Shabbos. So do we say that since when I throw in the food that I throw in combines with the food inside of the home for tuma purposes, the Rabbi said, now all of this becomes truma tamea. So do I say that since it combines with the food ultimately for truma purposes, therefore what? Mechayiv nami le'inyan Shabbos, that ultimately again it combines for Shabbos purposes as well, and therefore I will be chayiv for otzah. O dilma, kol le'inyan Shabbos kigro geres ba'inon. Or do we say no? The shear for Shabbos is not a beit, so the shear for Shabbos is a grogeres. So what do we say in this situation? Amar lei tinisua. So we'll say, see the shayla. So the shayla over here is, there's less than a kabetza of food ultimately in the home that is tameh. I throw in, right? Let's say for our purposes, there's a quarter of a kabetza of food ultimately inside of the home. I throw in 3/4 of a kabetza of food into the home truma tameh. The halacha is, for tuma purposes, that 3/4 combines with the 1/4 to ultimately form a kabetza of truma to become tameh in a home. So the shayla is, do we say that since it combines for tuma, it combines for Shabbos as well? Or do we say no, that halacha lamaisa, for Shabbos, the shear is grogeres, and if you don't have grogeres, you're not going to be chayiv. I'm relating to Nisui, so we learned this. Abba Shol Omer, Shtei Alechem, Alechem Apanim Shunim Ki Grogeres. Well, so we say that Shtei Alechem, remember Shtei Alechem is the offering of the 2 loaves that was offered up on Shavuos. Lechem Apanim is the showbread that was kept on the Shulchan week in and week out. So the shear for Lechem Apanim and Shtei Alechem is Ki Grogeres, is the size of a grogeres. So we'll say, what that sounds like it's saying is that Halacha L'maisa, Halacha L'maisa. So we'll say, just to be clear, a kibetza is less than a grogeres, right? A kibetza is less than a grogeres. So the shayla the Gemara is asking is as follows. Even though for Hilchos Shabbos I normally need a grogeres, but do we say that once the combined food item essentially is significant in one area of halacha, essentially the area of halacha being tumah, that will automatically make it significant for Shabbos also? Or do we say no? Shabbos and Tumah, 2 different things. Tumah needs a kibetza, and Shabbos needs a grogeres. And as much as now the combined kibetza becomes Tumah, becomes Tameh vis-a-vis Tumah purposes, ultimately, again, this is not considered to be a chashav unit for Shabbos purposes. Shabbos requires a grogeres and nothing less. So that's the shayla. So says the Gemara, for shtei alechem alechem apanim shein kigro geres. So the shear for lechem apanim and shtei alechem is a gro geres. So Rabbi, what it sounds like is, if you were to carry out lechem apanim or gro geres on Shabbos, you're only chayiv if halacha lemais you carry out a gro geres amount. Va'amai. Lema, why don't we say, midele inyon amabez, midele inyon yotze bekizayis, le inyon Shabbos nai bekizayis. We'll say, listen to this. There's a halacha that you are not permitted to take consecrated or sacrificial items outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Like, that's halacha. And I will say, that halacha is a kizayis. So for example, you can't take a kizayis of a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. You can't take a kizayis of shtei lechem or lechem upon him. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So why don't we say, if you're going to tell me that since it forms a kabetza for truma purposes, that kabetza is significant for Shabbos purposes, why don't they say the same thing over here? Since by lechem upon him and shtei lechem, if you carry out the kizayis, you're going to be chayiv. So say also, since the kizayis is chashuv by the halachas of Yotzei, let Kizayis also be chasha by the halachas of Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, here's the difference. Hachi ashta, hasam mida afke chutz l'chomas ha'azara ifsalei b'yotzei, as Shabbos lo mechayiv ademathikli l'rushas harabim. So we'll say, here's the difference. By Yotzei, interestingly enough, you are chayiv for taking out the sacrificial item right after you take it out of the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. Yet you would not be chayiv for hotzah until you move something into the Rishus HaRabim, which is another way of saying that if you take out a kizayis of lechem apanim, I will say, you would be chayiv for yotzei, for taking something out of the temple precincts, way before you would become chayiv for Shabbos. You're chayiv for taking something out of the temple precincts, ultimately, again, once you leave the Beis HaMikdash. You won't be chayiv for Shabbos until you get to Rishus HaRabim. Hacha, in the case of the Truma Temeah case, Shabbos v'tumah b'hadi hadadi ka'asyon. So Rebbe said the reason why the Gemara is asking ultimately again in the Truma case is why? Because halacha lemaisa, the Truma and the Shabbos situation occur at the same time. Rebbe said there's a simultaneity factor. Because remember again, what's happening over here? I'm standing in Rosh Hashanah. There's a home. I'm throwing, remember what's the case? I'm throwing 3/4 of a kebetza of Truma into a home that is tameh. There's a quarter of a beitza in there already. I throw it. Good aim. The 3/4 of the kebetza combines together with the 1 kebetza inside the home. So I say, so what happens? Legabi tuma, there is now a kebetza of tameh, of truma inside the home, and therefore it becomes tameh. But halacha lemaisa, so remember, and what happened at the same time? The act of hotzah occurred at the same time as well. So that's where the Gemara has this shayla of simultaneity. That ultimately, again, do we say that halacha lemaisa, ultimately, again, once it combines for tumah purposes, it combines for Shabbos purposes as well, since they're both occurring at the same time, or not? So the Gemara leaves it unresolved. The Minister Rabbah said, we will see this halakha is going to come up again. But for now, the Gemara leaves it unresolved. So in a case of simultaneity, where Tumah is occurring because you've created the share for Kabetza, can we say that even though Hilcho Shabbos normally requires a grogeres, but since the act of Hotzah is occurring at the same time as what? As the act of Tumah, that ultimately, again, they combine together. So let's say, actually, I'll share with you the Rambam on this, which is actually quite interesting. So the Rambam writes, Halacha Lamaisa as follows. The Rambam writes, this is in Perek Yud Ches, Halacha Chaf Zayin, in Hilchos Shabbos. So I just shared this with you, just very quickly. So the Rambam writes as follows. The Rambam says, Chai Hotzi Kigro Geres Lachi, Lavet Sam Kavach, Zara kizayis ochlin lebayis tamei vehishlim kizayis zel ochlim shayusha menasa kol kibetsa hareze suffek in this chayav al kizayis and neishishlim ashir in yintuma olon is chayav. So the Ram says it's a suffek, which I will say seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. So because it's a suffek, ultimately again, obviously you would not bring a chatos, but halacha lemaisa, of course, it is to be avoided. Good. Weiter. Says the Gemara. Chazir v'echnisa eino chai v'lekishira. So let's remember again, this was the case of the Mishnah, where halacha lemaisa, again, you brought it out and it was chashiva for you, but then ultimately, again, the item lost its chashivas, or your mindset changed. You're only chayiv if you go ahead and you bring it back. if you have the requisite shear. Pshita, it's obvious. Rabbi Yochanan asking, what's the case? Kigon shezarku la'otzar mekomo nikar. We'll say, what's the case? The case is where you threw the seed into the storehouse, and you know exactly where the seed is. Mal detema, what would you have thought? Kivad mekomo nikar, b'milsa kamaisa kai. I might have thought that since its place is recognizable, therefore, halacha lemaisa, its original designation remains. Kamash mala no. Kamash mida azrake la'otzar batuli batle. Since you threw it back into the storehouse, your original machshava is batal. So Rabbi said, therefore, again, quick illustration of this. For me, one kernel of wheat was significant. Why? Because halacha lemaisa, again, I was going to use it to go ahead and plant. But then what happened? I transferred out to Rosh Hashanah Mamchayiv. Now I want to transfer it back. Now, both say, now I'm no longer planting just one seed, right? I'm no longer doing this. What do? I throw this seed back into my storehouse. And I know exactly where that seed is. I might have thought that because the place of the seed is absolutely recognizable, therefore, again, its original identity is intact. Kamash Malon, once you throw it back into the silo, into the granary, your original machshava is batal. And therefore, again, this seed is just like every other seed. It will be governed no longer by your subjective shear, but by the objective shiur. Beautiful, says the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hamotzi Ochlin, the Nasan Ali Sikurabo, it's an interesting case. I take out food and I put it on an isikufa. Rabbi say, we'll define what this means, but for our purposes right now, it means a threshold. So whether I placed it on the, let's say I took it from my house and placed it on the threshold. So whether I went ahead and brought it back from the threshold into my home, or someone else in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim came along and took it from the threshold into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, potter. Ultimately, again, everyone's potter. Why? Because no one did a complete act of hotzah. Again, we will see what things will. Remember, again, an act of hotzah requires an akira from one rishos and a hanukkah in a separate rishos. So the Gemara says similarly, kupa shimalei peres. Person has a basket that's filled with fruit. Finasna ala sikufa, and he placed it on the threshold. Hachitzona, afa pishrov peres mibachutz. Even though the majority of the fruit, so we'll say the way this is working is the basket is situated on the threshold, but the threshold extends, the basket extends into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Even though the majority of the fruit extend into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, ultimately, again, Pater, at Shahotzi es kol hakupa, I'm going to be Pater until when? Until I take the entire kupa, the entire basket, into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So Rabbi said, let's analyze. Says the Gemara, Hai isi kufa mai. So Rabbi said, here's what I know. The Mishnah told me that if I take, let's say, a basket, and I place it on the threshold, and then I bring the basket back into my home, I'm putter. Or if I place the basket on the threshold, and someone from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim comes along and takes the basket from the threshold, he is putter. So Rabbi said, so what is this threshold? So says the Gemara, Mai, if you want to say the Issikufa, the threshold, has the status of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, then Rabbi says, if I place the basket there and subsequently bring it back, why would I not be Chayiv? I'm taking from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. El Issikufa Rosh Hashanah Yochid. So we'll say, Ravi, you have to say that what? Maybe the Issikufa, ultimately again, is Rosh Hashanah Yochid. Well, if that's the case, Bein Shechazer Vautzian, Bein Shechazian Acher Potter, Hakamavik Mirosh Hashanah Rabbim. Rabbi says, if the Issikufa ultimately, again, it's going to be like a private domain. Then if someone comes along from the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and takes the basket from the Issikufa to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, why would he not be Chayiv? That's an act of Otzah. Ella Issikufa Karmelis. Rather, Rabbi Yosef says the Gemara, what is an Issikufa? An Issikufa is a Karmelis. So we'll say, what is a Karmelis? We know a Karmelis is a Rishos that resembles a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but is not really a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Mid the Oraisa, it is a Rosh Hashanah Hayochid. But mid Rabbanon, ultimately, again, well, I shouldn't say it, more often than not, mid the Oraisa, it's a Rosh Hashanah Hayochid, but it has this different rabbinic kind of status. So the Gemara says, Vaha kamash malon, taima denach bekarmelis, halo nach bekarmelis mechayiv. So we'll say, so therefore, what is the Mishnah teaching me? The Mishnah is teaching me, again, I'll say, this is Hotzah 101. What's Hotzah 101? In order to be Chayav for Hotzah, you must transfer something from one bona fide domain to another, so from Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Yochid. If there is an intervening Karmelis, right? So I will say, if you place a Karmelis it totally negates what occurs before it and what occurs after it. So therefore, if I'm in my house and I put the basket in on the karmelis, on the isikufa, that is not an act of hotzah. And similarly, again, that's why if I take it back into my house, I'm not chayiv, or if someone comes from Rishus HaRabim and takes the basket, they're not chayiv either. To which the Gemara is a very interesting masizin luke ben azai. Our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Ben Azai, because what does Ben Azai say? The Sanya Moti Ma Mechonos Laplatio Derech Stav Chayivu Ben Azai Poter. So I'll say, interestingly enough, just quickly, Ben Azai's Shita ultimately is that even if something doesn't come to rest in a Carmelis, once you pass through a Carmelis, it is as if you have come to rest. So I will say, our Mishnah clearly does not reflect that view. Our Mishnah holds that in order for something to be viewed as having come to rest in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, what has to happen? It has to literally come to rest in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Not like Ben Azai, who says that it would be enough if it simply passes through. Good, I'll say just a little bit weiter. Kupa Shimaleo, Amr Chizkiya. So I'll say, so remember again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah said something quite fascinating, which is that Halacha L'maaseh, if you have a basket that is filled with fruit and you put it on the threshold, even though the majority of the fruit hang into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, hang over into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, ultimately, again, the basket is viewed as being at rest on the Isikufa. So Amar Chizkiya, Lo Shana Ela Bekuba Mleya Kishurim V'Diluin. This is only true if the basket is filled with cucumbers and gourds, which Rabbi say ultimately are what? Are longer vegetables. Ava Mleya Chardol Chayiv. But ultimately, again, if it's filled with chardol, with mustard seed, then you will be chayiv. Now, we'll say, so just, okay, I'm not going to get a chance to do this justice, but what I'll just tell you is this concept outside, and we'll have to begin with this piece in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. So we'll say, so what I just want to point out to you is really something fascinating. We're going to get into the fascinating discussion regarding igud kli shmei igud. I will say, does a basket somehow go ahead and keep all of the contents together as one cohesive unit? Or ultimately, are the individual contents of the basket reckoned on their own account? So I will say, the nafkamina is going to be, for example, if you have a basket filled with mustard seed. So I will say, if you have a basket filled with mustard seed, so if you can imagine, if part of that basket is sitting on the Isagufa and part of it extends into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So we'll say you have mustard seed that is fully in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, right? Because the mustard seed are granules. You know, if you have, for example, larger fruit like gourds and cucumbers, so again, I will say that means part of that same vegetable is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, part of it is in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So we'll say, but if you have, let's say, granular items, you could have all certain items that are fully in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, certain items that are fully in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So the shaila is, does the fact that they're in the same utensil, does the utensil bond the items to make them into one cohesive unit, or do we look at the contents of the basket as individual entities? So also we'll have to cover that tomorrow evening. We'll stop over here. Yashakach. Again, for those who, I'm sorry that we're ending a little bit further up on the daf, but for those who are joining us from the Shul Minyan on Zoom, you'll log out. We're going to close this Zoom chat now, and then we're going to restart it. Wishing everyone a beautiful day, a good Ne'erev Shabbos, a beautiful Shabbos Kodesh. The Parsha Vart, I've posted on the WhatsApp chat, and it's already on the, I believe it's already on the podcast. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a good Shabbos. Shkach, we'll say.